turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to Timothy in order to help, to guide and encourage him to be a good leader and teacher within the church at Ephesus. And already in this series we have considered that as he serves in this way, that firstly, sound doctrine is so important. Sound doctrine that not only he believes and teaches, but sound doctrine that changes people's lives, including his own. And then last time, we also saw that it was important that he serves with grace. He must have a correct understanding of grace as he grasps the seriousness of his own sin. And this grace must be something that consumes him and gives him a humble and passionate attitude as he serves the Lord Jesus. And today, as we continue this series on serving, we're thinking today about the importance of serving with prayer. The first thing I want us to notice here in verses 1 and 2 is praying for all. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. The way this verse begins, it ties it in with what has just been taught before this in the letter, where Paul says, I urge them. He's thinking back to what he said. The New King James is maybe one of the translations that brings this out clear when it says, therefore, I exhort you. In the verses just before this, the end of chapter 1, Paul has been encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight, holding on to the faith. And then he speaks of two men, Hymenaeus and Alexandra, who shipwrecked their faith. In other words, there are two men who professed to be Christians, but men who went off the rails. And in the second letter to Timothy, Paul describes Hymenaeus as one whose false teaching spreads like gangrene. And he speaks of Alexander, who was a metal worker, as one who did him much harm. And so, it's after thinking of these two terrible opponents of the gospel and opponents of Paul that he says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And it's therefore very clear that our praying should not exclude those who we dislike. We shouldn't be too narrow in who we pray for. We should be broad and open in who we pray for. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For Paul, probably, Hymenaeus and Alexander would have been two very difficult people for him to pray for because of what they had done against him, because of what they have done against the gospel. But those things are no reason to stop praying for them. In praying for them, this also shows that our praying should not exclude those who we think are unlikely to be saved. Paul was praying here for two men who were now very hard and very opposed to the gospel. And you know, it's certainly a lot easier to pray with expectation for those people who we'd call as being sympathetic to the gospel. But we must pray for all, because as Paul says of the Lord in Ephesians 3, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Leaders, helpers, teachers, do you pray for all under your care? Do you pray for all in your organization, in your Sunday school class? Do you pray equally for those that are hard to put up with and who are often hard to like? I was listening this week to retired footballer Robbie Savage speak, and he was asked the question, who was the dirtiest footballer he ever played against. And he says, he wouldn't say the dirtiest, he says the most annoying was Dennis Wise. He says, because if you fell down, Dennis Wise would go to pull you up, but he'd nip you as he did it. He was always nipping you and saying things to annoy you and to get you in edge. And sometimes there's maybe people in your Sunday school class, there's people maybe in your organization, they're like, they're always annoying you, always pushing your buttons. But we're to pray for them. To pray for them all. And you know, one of the consequences of praying regularly for those annoying kids is that you will discover your love for them growing. Because by praying for these people, we're bringing God into our interaction between us and them. And so we should all be praying for even for people we find difficult. Also, as you pray for people in your organization or people around you, do you pray believing that God can answer your prayers for that difficult person? Do you pray believing that God can just as easily save that hard and awkward child or person as he can save the well-mannered and the compliant one? We must pray believing in God's great power and what he can do. Paul says here in verse 1, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Now, there's different words he uses here to describe praying. The first word is the word request. It comes from a word which means to petition, or it even means to beg. It's a strong, it's a emotive word. It shows that our praying must never be half-hearted. The next word used here is prayers, which includes in it the thought of worship. And this shows that our praying is out of our devotion to God, and our praying should be to see God's will being done. The third word is intercession, which means to speak in favour of someone or to speak on behalf of someone. It's to intervene on someone's behalf. It comes from a word meaning to interview. And it means to reverently question God on behalf of someone else. The final word here is thanksgiving. It means we pray not as those who are always feel that we're badly done by, but as those who have already received so much from God. And as we pray, we must remember that. So if you're praying for your Sunday school class, for example, that would include thanksgiving for the privilege of teaching Sunday school, and even thanksgiving that that little annoying terror does come along week by week to hear God's word. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray for all, Paul says. But then secondly, we see here the reasons to pray for all in verses 2 to 7. And the first reason is for a peaceful life in verse 2. He says to pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Praying for leaders in society is crucial to having a peaceful community which will then enable the gospel to spread more easily. We must pray for those who rule over us, and that includes praying for our elected representatives. We're to pray for all of them, Paul says.